Hello and welcome to Room Escape Divas. Today on our episode, we have Alexander Gierholtz, and he is the program director for Up the Game, an escape room conference in the Netherlands. Amanda?
I don't know.
Did I say his name wrong? Welcome, no. Alexander. It's great to have you on.
Well, welcome. I feel honored to be on the podcast.
Oh, this is awesome. I'm glad that you're able to join us. So there is so many things I want to ask you, and I wanted to make sure we started recording immediately, because even before we were recording, you were telling me all sorts of fun things, so I had to stop you, and I didn't want to be rude or anything, but it sounded a lot of fun. So first, if you could tell us more about yourself, and you run an escape room, right?
About myself, I'm from Germany, and I eventually immigrated to the Netherlands to study psychology here. I started studying psychology in Maastricht and then did my master's in Amsterdam. And during my studies, together with some friends, we started an escape room. Initially, it was only the idea to do this as a side project to help us financing our studies. And it took over quite a bit. And then eventually I delayed my studies to create better escape games.
Oh, fun. And,
now after I'm finished with the master, I'm kind of full time in this scene of game designing.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we have an escape room here in Amsterdam. We have some mobile escape games. We have a theater game that we have designed. A game that comes out of a suitcase.
And, oh, cool.
Yeah, a lot of different things. We really like to experiment with concepts that with new concepts.
And what's your company called?
Logic Locks.
Logic Locks, nice. Yes. And so what was your first introduction to escape rooms?
Well, actually, I played my first escape room in Prague, in the Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm.
It's the game of a friend of mine, and it's called the Mind Maze. And basically, we were sitting at home thinking about what to do. We would have liked to, I was always a gamer, and a friend of mine, she always wanted to start a business. And then I saw this email of a friend of mine in which he showed me what he was up to in the last half year. And I was immediately excited about it and decided to rent a car and drive to Prague and check it out. And that was the first escape room I've played, and it was excellent. It's still today, I would say it's like an escape room that even after the whole development of like new escape games, this one can still keep up. And yeah, it was very exciting. And so we came back and we're like, yeah, we have to do the same. We can do it. It was great. And started looking for space and started setting one up in Amsterdam.
Nice.
And so when did you decide to start facilitating or organizing Up the Game?
That was I think we were 1 year in, and we saw all these new innovations popping up in so many different places. We saw new escape games popping up in Germany, all over the Netherlands. you saw really amazing concepts coming up in the UK about like immersive theater and more like real life gaming being incorporated in escape rooms. And we thought like this is probably more than just like a short term phenomena. This seems to be like a bigger trend of bringing experiences that we usually only know from video gaming into the real world. So we somehow have to bring these people together. We want to meet everyone. And we also think like if all these people meet each other, there's probably a crazy melting pot being created with a lot of new and interesting ideas. So that's when we thought like, hey, maybe we should organize a conference. And we were a small team by then. And we're like, okay, we probably can't do it just by ourselves. So we're looking around for partners. And we found Real Life Gaming, which is a game production company in the Netherlands. They design like a big prison escape game where like hundreds of people are locked up in a prison.
Yeah, I was reading about that. It's crazy.
Yeah, we thought we really liked their game, and we also realized that what they do is not an escape room, but it's somewhat related. So if the two of us combine our knowledge, then we have like the perfect team for this kind of conference that tries to bring different worlds together.
That is cool. One of our very first, we've done a couple of live escape games ourselves, and that was one of our first ideas, was to do it in a huge prison. And
yes,
we thought that'd be really cool. And just to have like some immersive theaters where you kind of have to social engineer the guards and different things. But it was
exactly,
hard to find a prison.
Yeah, so the only thing we lacked, we found one, but they only do movies shoots.
And it was like our first game. Nobody would give us any money or anything like that. We didn't know how well it was going to go. But it just sounded super exciting.
It is really like, and it is hard to find a prison. I think in the Netherlands, we are a bit lucky because prisons are closing down here. And,
oh, that's a good thing. Maybe.
Yeah, it's like we have less and less people being imprisoned. And so there are now like more and more empty prisons coming up. And also one of these empty prisons, which is like probably the most iconic prison of the country. It's like a big prison dome. Will be the hosting ground for the conference. So
oh wow!
Yeah, I saw pictures. It looks phenomenal.
Wow. So can you tell us more about Up the Game? When it is? Who sponsors it? And so on. And what it is?
What it is? Well, yeah. So it's a conference where we invite very visionary and interesting people from the scene to come and share their knowledge in talks, share their visions, present their games, and have debates with each other. We invite exhibitors to show like the offers that they have for the services that they can provide for the scene. We provide some games and some interesting experiences there as well. It's basically like a full day of like escape room enthusiasts and visionaries and pioneers coming together and like so on one hand celebrating the crazy things that we're doing and helping each other to improve their games and to achieve their missions.
And I see that's it's like, happening May 9th.
Yeah, it has happened for the first time last year in April, and it was a huge success because we sold out all the tickets and had actually many more people who wanted to come, but unfortunately the location didn't allow us to let more people in.
How many people were there last year?
We had like, I think it was like, we stopped selling tickets at around 450, but then still allowed quite some people in at the door. So I think like it was around 500, but it was really the upper max. So for some people who were there, they might remember that there were some smaller stages where the rooms were quite packed. And this year we made sure we have a much bigger space.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures now. You have like, it's pretty cool looking. This dome thing. I don't even know what that is.
I know.
Yeah, it's like basically like a prison dome that is designed in the style of like the Panopticon. I'm not sure if you know this concept. It's like a prison where all the prison cells are visible from the center of the space.
Oh.
So basically the guards can have can oversee the whole prison.
Wow.
And it's like, yeah, it's a crazy, crazy design and a really unique building.
If you're anyone who is listening is interested, you can go to upthegame.nl, Netherlands, upthegame.nl, and you'll see the pictures. It's pretty crazy seeing this dome and then all these cells and then this glass floor.
Yeah, Yeah, there's a glass floor with some rooms underneath, and yeah, it's impressive. So it's really something. And we're going to be the first big event that is going to be hosted there, because it is only like recently it's empty, and yeah, we're the first big party that that is using it. Yeah, but after game in general, yeah, I'm like also like the thing is for us, it's like we're really enthusiastic about the element of the gaming. Like we saw so many, there's so many like very business oriented conference out there, but we wanted to make sure that we have we really help people to improve their game, and really like there's of course plenty of opportunity for networking, and we also talk about some of the like business parts of the that an escape room requires, like the marketing and the management, but we have a lot about the actual designing and the actual gaming part of an escape room, because that is
and promoting a better experience with escape rooms, judging from the number of speakers that I see here.
Yeah exactly, because like so far the scene as we see it, it's I've heard that in the US the scene is already changing a bit, but here in Europe we still have a very friendly scene where people are really helping each other, and most of the people are still hobbyists and enthusiasts, and yeah, we want to make sure that, that this is not just a trend that quickly disappears because of like globalization or big commercialization, but that really like the quality of the games stays high, gets better, and like people experimenting around it, and like the audience stays excited about this trend of like real life gaming.
So was it difficult to keep, you mentioned, you know, having things for the business side of things and having things for the speakers for the design side of things. Did you find it difficult to find that balance to make sure that both, like that all aspects of escape rooms got equal amounts of attention in your programming?
Yes. Well, last year we had quite some part, like there was a big part of the conference where real-life gaming initiatives, which are loosely related to escape rooms because they use escape room related elements in their games. There was a lot of people were really interested and excited about these, but also quite some people were like, okay, why do I need this? I have an escape room. Is this really relevant for me? So we tried to really incorporate all the feedback that we got, and this year we will have, I think, around like Maybe 75% of the program will be like really focused at escape rooms, and like 25% will be like real life gaming and immersive experiences in general that probably helps escape room designers to think outside of the box and use elements from these scenes in their experience that make their experience different from all the other more conventional escape rooms.
Sorry, these are things like the immersive scavenger hunts and that?
Yeah, and in general, like, it's interesting to see, like, in Europe we have, or especially in the UK, you can see a scene of immersive theater.
Right.
And then, for instance, last week we went to Moscow for a week. And in Moscow, in Russia in general, there's, like, a huge scene of escape rooms. They have like more than 600 escape experiences in Moscow.
Whoa!
And it's really incredible. And there they incorporate actors as well, and have a lot like a lot more different kind of experience that are like more a mix of like a haunted house and an escape room experience, or a mix of like a hide and seek experience in an escape room and conventional escape rooms. But there, even the pure performances, which are basically like an experience like you're in a movie where you walk along with actors and you have to make certain kind of small decisions, but you're like part of the story.
Yeah.
There they call it performance, and it's promoted on the website of escape rooms, and it's considered gaming. While in the UK, they might have exactly the same experience, but there it's considered theater. And it attracts a totally different audience, and it attracts people who come to these experiences with completely different expectations. So I found this very fascinating, and I think it's really interesting to see when these scenes, or how these scenes merge and come together.
We don't have really many games like that here in Canada,
or at least in Ontario.
or at least in Ontario. I don't know if there's any in Canada in general. Do you know of other ones? No.
Haven't heard.
I mean, the only ones that have run in Toronto, for the most part, are the ones that we've run, because we wanted to have... We wanted to mix immersive theater with escape rooms, but we didn't call it theater. We called it an escape event, a live escape event. So,
because we found that, yeah, we found that when we used the word, when people use the word theater here, people tend to get more scared, or they think it's like it's inaccessible to them.
Yeah, exactly. People think it's like a highbrow experience, and yeah, I guess yeah, that's an interesting thing, because. Like theater can mean so much. Some people try to make their escape room seem more high class and more exclusive by using words like theater. Other people totally try to avoid this and call it like a haunted performance or something. While in essence, it's kind of the same. You just try to bring a bit more life to it by using some real people that help to enrich the experience.
And I noticed from your guest list a few people that I recognize. For example, Scott Nicholson and Lisa and David Spira of Room Escape Artist. Did you reach out to them, or how did you snatch the people from North America?
Yeah, well, I try to keep like an eye on the scene and what's happening, and I try to find like people who might be good representatives for the different scenes. And yeah, Scott Nicholson, of course, is like, I think, one of the biggest experts about this kind of trend in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really happy that he's excited to come this year, because I think most people have read his paper. Also, he had quite a profound impact by starting the first Facebook group where people were actually exchanging ideas and getting to know each other and realizing that there's like a huge scene of people out there who do the same things.
It's true. And there's like over 7,000 people in that Facebook group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very impressive. And it's impressive to see how willingly people share their knowledge and how people really try to help each other. And I find this quite inspiring. So Scott is Scott is great, and I'm happy he will be there. And about Lisa and David, I was impressed by the way they conduct their reviews. They seem to have a very disciplined and very strict and very reflected approach to reviewing escape games. And I think this is great. We will definitely see more and more, like, escape room reviewing becomes more and more relevant in, like, all the countries that I've played escape rooms so far, because people want to play the good games and people want to know beforehand what the games are like.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be good to see, to bring people together who do this kind of escape room reviewing, and make them exchange ideas and teach each other what is the best way to do this. Because it has quite some influence on the scene, and do this in a responsible and still kind of fun manner. And I think Lisa and David are a really great example for that.
Mm-hmm. So there's yourself, Alexander, who's helping run up the game. Who else is part of the crew that is spearheading this?
There's my partner from Logic Logs, Sander van Asseldonk. He's Dutch, and he's doing like the communication part. Then like the from Real Life Gaming, we have Buzz. I don't know if anyone has written emails to us and has been in contact with the commercial part of the conference, then he has probably had exchange with Buzz. Then we have Kenneth. Kenneth is doing the production plan. He's thinking about the flow. He has the difficult job of taking like such a unusual location like a prison and making it like appropriated for a conference, because yeah, it was certainly not initially built for such an event. And then then we have like of course like people like Natalie, who's doing the finances and helping us to book all the trips for the speakers, helping us to arrange the hotels and the locations, and many more people to do like some of the smaller jobs. We have a team of designers who help us with like the website and like the decoration at the conference, and a whole team of technicians who tries to also help us to make the conference happen at the prison itself. And like it's very in the beginning, when you plan such an event, you don't really think of all the little tasks that have to be done, and the team gets bigger and bigger, and more people get more and more little tasks. So it's by now it's quite an endeavor, and I can't really say exactly how many people are actually involved, because we work with our partners, and everybody uses all the hands that are available to help out with the conference.
So people are going to go to the conference, and there are going to be a number of speakers. Will there be different games to play as well? I noticed that you'll have play games and find services.
Well, we probably have this year certainly some VR experiences. We will have some small escape room experiences. Last year we had a mobile freak show caravan where people could play a 50-minute escape room endeavor. For us, it's a challenging part, Sophie. There are many mobile escape games out there, but of course, most of them are an hour long. And so for people, people during the conference will probably not want to lock themselves up in a 1 hour escape rooms, because I think they're too afraid of missing out. So we are looking for different kind of interesting experiences that are shorter and use again escape room elements. Last year we had a smell experience. It was called the Smell of Death. No. And it was like a big metal, sort of not really a coffin, but where they keep the corpses before an autopsy.
You're like a morgue.
So I don't know. You see it always in movies when there's an autopsy and they have
metal
to
metal refrigerator.
Drawers. Exactly, yeah. So there was a place a box like this, and you could get inside, and they tried to simulate an experience entirely based on sound and smell.
Oh.
So you had I think this one was the assassination of JFK, and you would have the last 2 minutes of the while sitting in the car with JFK, just entirely based on the smell and the sound of this experience.
Wow.
Oh, I heard about this.
Crazy experience.
Yeah.
So these kind of things, together with of course some small puzzle driven experiences, were things that people can expect at the conference. Yeah, I was wondering, I was is it because this was a Swedish, no, was it? I think it was a Dutch team actually who came with this experience. And I was wondering, is this experience going to be offensive for our American audience? Because, I don't know, we really don't, here in Europe, people don't have a strong emotional,
connection
attachment to John F. Kennedy. But I'm it's not really part of our felt and, emotionally experienced history. So I don't know.
I think it would depend on the age of the players, probably, depending on if they actually lived, were alive in the 60s to see it on TV.
Yeah.
I have no idea. We're not American, so we probably should ask them.
Americans.
I'm glad that no one came to me and complained about it. So I think the people who did it were fine. And I suppose most people at the conference are a bit younger. So I guess in that sense, we were on the safe side.
So when we get to escape rooms in Europe, what was the first escape room there? What started it off, do you think?
What started off was a power park in Budapest. There was Attila, he was also last year a speaker at the conference. He was the first one who built the prototypical escape room as we know it today when we think of escape room. Yeah, he caused quite a fuss in Budapest, and in a very short time, escape rooms in the city exploded. And there was for around a year, it stayed a bit in Hungary and Budapest. There it became this phenomena, and then slowly it spread over all over Europe, and. I remember when we were opening our first escape room, we thought, maybe we're going to be the first one in the Netherlands, you know? And then we saw one opening up somewhere else, and maybe we're going to be the first one, at least in Amsterdam. But, that summer, I think there were six, seven escape rooms opening at the same summer with us. So this idea was quickly out to be an illusion. And I think a lot of people were surprised by this because, escape rooms, now they're everywhere, and popping up everywhere, and nowadays, I think Amsterdam has officially the highest density of escape rooms in Europe.
Wow.
But I would say that's a favorable statistics for the city because it's a very small city, you know, like consider the actual physical area of it.
Yeah, sorry. Have you done any of the escape rooms in North America? Just because I want to know if you can, if you are aware of the comparison between North America and Europe, or even Asia, for that matter.
Yeah, well, there's always the classic thing that surprises Europeans a lot, and that is that you can play an escape room in the United States together with strangers, or sometimes you even have to, which is something that is definitely here not the case. I haven't seen that anywhere yet, and I think. I would like to try it actually. Like I haven't played an escape room in the United States yet, and while I in general think it's, I prefer to play the escape room with my friends, and with people that I know I like and I enjoy their presence. But I also think it would be very interesting to play it just with strangers or to just play it when I'm in a different city by myself. To play an escape room together with a bunch of people that I don't know at all. You know, I think it's actually, that seems quite compelling to me. And I was wondering if, I'm still wondering if eventually we will see escape rooms here experimenting with this concept and at least allowing it. We tried it once for Valentine's Day to have it like open for...
like
for
a people, dating, like dating time?
Exactly. We wanted to offer people to... we made sure that it was like a mixed group of like three girls and three guys.
Oh.
And we said, find a date and play an escape room together. If you're on Valentine's Day without a date, you know. And yeah, it was quite fun. And I think we had like 2-3 groups that day who did that. But it was a difficult thing to promote because it's a very unusual concept for the people here.
Arrow keeps bothering me to go to a Valentine's Day escape room.
What are you talking about? I don't think I've ever said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you have. Okay, I can't totally remember. Have.
I can't remember at
when
all.
Roundabout had theirs.
Yeah, it was for research purposes. What is it like to go on a first date in an escape room?
Yeah.
That, I mean, I would think, though, that you know that would increase performance anxiety because not only do you have to impress your date, you also have to be able to solve the room.
I don't know. I brought a date to an escape room once, and that... didn't end well, so I just left him to go solve puzzles.
You can also play the escape room first, like with some other people, and then you come back with your date, and then you impress her immensely by how easily you can solve all these complicated
puzzles. That's what Errol was saying, because I played all the rooms.
Well, I'm not sure if kind of a bit like lying and tricking your girl right at the first date would be a good start into like
a endeavor. Yeah, it's already starting it off badly.
So it's something that you have to keep for secret for the rest of the relationship.
I could just imagine, you know, 20 years down the road, and you're like married, all of a sudden, what? You knew? You, we got together on false pretenses.
What else have you been hiding from me?
You made me feel so stupid for not solving it as fast as you did.
So I wonder, I've noticed a couple of things. I have this impression, and I could be wrong, but I don't know, that you have more... immersive like theater and actors in Europe when it comes to escape rooms. I mean, I have that impression about the UK because of their immersive escape rooms and theater as well. I don't know if that's more prevalent across Europe because we don't really have that here in North America.
No, well, I'm not sure if that is the case. It's also here, it's still an exception. You have it,
Have it
in some games. When you go to the UK, you have more experiences that are not really escape rooms, but they are immersive as an escape room. And the people there realize more and more that people want to have an active experience where they do stuff themselves and where they feel the experience is right around them and they are the main actor in the experience and in the middle of it instead of just watching it from a seat in the cinema or in the theater. And I think that is a bit of like the same motivation that makes people go and play escape rooms is they want to do something instead of just like enjoy something passively. And so this is like it's a bit of the same trend in that sense. And still, having actors in escape rooms is also here. It's unusual. It's definitely not the norm. And I've seen it now in Russia being like very prevalent. Mm-hmm. And considering that they are quite innovative in the market, it will come here more often, I think. But it will still stay, I think, somewhat of a separate thing. Some escape rooms will just be normal escape rooms. Some escape rooms will have an actor or two. Some experiences will be much more driven by actors. Some things will be entirely theater. I think these things will all be a bit more mixed in the future.
Yeah, probably just like different subsets and different genres of what an escape room is. Yeah.
Didn't you have like things like Locked Up with a Zombie, where like a zombie was in a chain or so? I think I saw this sometime on YouTube coming by.
Yeah, we do have something like that. You don't really interact with the zombie. I mean, the zombie, it's basically the zombie's there to annoy you.
Yeah, that's basically what we got away from it.
Yeah. Huh. And like, I also heard that there are games where the operator is actually with you in the room.
Yes.
Instead of just watching over cameras.
It depends. So yep. But there are some as well as that. You'll have an active hint giver within the room. Scrap games, they do that. So they will have the person in the room giving hints and nudging you along. Sometimes the actor's in character and sometimes the actor is not in character.
I prefer it when they're in character, but yeah.
Yeah, so that is already, that is something I have, for instance, I haven't seen here yet, like a hint giver actively in the room. Seems pretty, seems for me and my experience seems pretty unusual to me. But yeah, why not? You know, if it fits the theme, I think it can be done probably really well.
So what are your personally your favorite types of escape rooms? We've been talking about them now.
Personally, for me, I'm very hard to scare, so a lot of horror themes don't really work for me that well. And I'm also like, sometimes, like, I like it very much when it's kind of slightly mysterious, and when I when the puzzles are challenging and I have the feeling that it's a really hard nut to crack, and I also don't feel too much of a time pressure to do so.
Right.
So, because right now the games become, of course, when you play a lot, they become more and more easy. So, but it's nice when I go into a room and it has like a mysterious theme and I feel a bit more like a detective or investigator, and I have really hard puzzles that I have to take some time to solve.
Right.
Instead of just like really fast puzzles that I do, fast puzzle here, fast puzzle here, and quickly moving on and like doing everything in a rush. I like it when I have to slow down and think.
Me too.
That's my But it's but I've noticed is that the opinions there are very very divided. Some people really hate that.
Yes.
Because for some people it actually breaks the flow, because some people like to solve puzzles, and when they get stuck, like they immediately like I don't want that, you know. I want to move on. While I enjoy being stuck, and I enjoy standing in the middle of the room and looking around like, what the hell did I miss, you know? I do like that.
I know Manda always thinks I sound pompous when I say...
Yeah, no, we'll leave a room and he'll just say, oh, that was great. I actually had to think in that room. Like, you know.
And it's not like I'm trying to say that I'm so smart. It's just that, you know, we had to work on puzzles as opposed to working on a task. And I just really enjoy it when I have to think about how a puzzle should work. And you have to forgive us about the bird in the background that is squawking like mad. I should move you to the kitchen or something. Good grief, you're loud today. Anyway, sorry about that.
Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, but I know what you mean. It's also like when you play a lot of escape rooms, it's kind of weird. You go to an escape room and you see a puzzle and you recognize the underlying logic of the puzzle, and it's a puzzle that you kind of know. And then other people are like, oh, how do you solve this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's just like this kind of puzzle with this kind of logic, you know, just with different objects. And they're like, what? Yeah. So you immediately like analyze it and recognize the patterns so quickly. And then you can, in that sense, you can do a lot of things almost like an autopilot. And
yes.
Yeah, of course, it's nice when it breaks you. Also, like, it's nice when we have like, I've seen puzzles that are so out of the usual, that they are so kind of simple, that experienced players stumble over them, while new players solve them straight away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like one of our early escape rooms, we have like just like a box, and there's like a number on the bottom of the box just written there. And to the day, no experienced player solves this because they will never look under the box and just think this. While a newbie, he does it straight away. He takes it, he looks around, and he sees it. And he's like, oh, and I. It's always that's for me very funny when I'm fooled by my arrogance that I know all these puzzles and I know what I have to do. You know,
our worst case was in a room where the keypad was on the exit door. But the keypad didn't open the exit door. It opened something else. And hopefully that's not too much of a spoiler.
No, because we assumed that it's like, well, that's going to be the last puzzle. We just completely ignored the keypad.
We had numbers. We had numbers to put in somewhere. None of us put it in that keypad. Yeah. So eventually we just called it a hint.
There
we don't know
even,
what to do with these numbers.
There was even a vague clue linking props to the keypad. And it was, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. I can see the operators of that room. I thought they are escape room experts, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing? They're asking us what to do with these numbers. that's great, yeah.
So going back a bit, actually, we were talking about the different types of teams that you play on, like whether you play with strangers or your friends. There are a few seminars on team building at Up the Game. And just in general, what do you think owners can do about team building, or what kind of trends do you see in it, and where do you see it going?
I can say that in the Netherlands, escape rooms are really big in the team building sector because it's a relatively cheap and much more engaging experience than what most team building experience have to offer. An escape room is a very interesting experience in the sense that a lot of things that you do there, you can take some learnings with you, but then it is like up to the facilitator of this event to translate these learnings into a different scenario. To, for instance, explain what does it mean to be in a flow, and why are you in a flow experience when you're in an escape room, and not in a flow experience when you're in the office? What is difference here? You know, how can you make your office experience more engaging and get more immersed in your work there? These are, for instance, like interesting learnings. And I see now that like many teams are analyzing the experience in an escape room and trying to take learnings out of it and trying to apply this like for like team building settings, or like let people play an escape room, then afterwards let them reflect on it and let them plan a bit and let them play another escape room and see, are they better afterwards, or are they better in it when they have a different mindset? So at Up the Game, we will have a few teams of researchers who will present the research that they have conducted. And they will present their approach to designing team building experiences based on escape room experiences.
No, that's kind of cool. So do they like have a paper out or anything like that? Because that'd be interesting to read.
Yeah, I think like there's one... like one preliminary paper that someone sent to me. I think I'm not allowed to share that yet.
No, that's okay. You don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to break
and,
any.
And some. Yeah, and some of the other researchers are very new. So it's like kind of brand new research. So I'm not sure if this stuff is published yet. I think a lot of it will be presented for the first time actually at the conference.
Oh, that's cool.
Neat.
I know a lot of people on the FB Enthusiast group always ask about research on team building. So it'd be fun to read more about that.
Yeah, and I'm also very excited about it, you know, because I do have a background in psychology, so for me it's like it's fantastic to see like how people approach it and how do they research it, you know, because it's always like you can always theorize about it, but actually designing an experiment and testing things, it's a completely different story.
I have another question, because it seems in Europe, and it may be because It originated with Csikszent Mihály, and I hope I pronounced his name correctly, but the concept of flow.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
No, yay! So he has this theory on flow and creative flow, and it's talked about more, I find, in European escape rooms about flow, where I think in North America that whole concept of flow is not as prevalent. And so whenever I always found it interesting. I have watched a few of his TED Talks. I found them a little bit on the boring side in his book. But you know, I am very fascinated by this concept of flow, especially since I've also been very fascinated with the creative flow and the creative process myself. But I find it, it's not as talked about here in North America as it is in Europe. So I want to know if it's just something that is widely accepted over there.
I don't know. I would say that by now, because Attila from Parapark, he was the guy who designed the first escape room, he has the flow principle very much in the core of his design philosophy. So I think because of him, this concept became very widely known. He presented that also when he gave talks at conferences. He would always talk about the flow experience, and I think that is the main reason why, especially in the escape room scene, this concept is quite well known. It's definitely not the only concept, or probably not the only concept that is very like that is applicable to gaming and escape rooms. But mainly through Attila, it really spread.
Wow!
I'm surprised that it's not a. I personally find it a very inspiring concept, and I think it's very very recognizable in like my everyday experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised that it's not so well known in the States. Huh?
I mean, I don't know. I just get that concept because sometimes I'll bring it up with the creatives I know, and they don't really know what I'm talking about. And yet, when I talk to anybody from Europe, it seems to be very, very well known. And so I just wonder if it's because he's Hungarian and it's more accessible in regards to, you know. But yeah, no, I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know if Amanda, have you heard of that, the flow concept before I actually told you? Yeah.
No, but then I didn't really become like a I was an actor before. I didn't really become a creative until I met you.
Yeah, but it's still, he talks about creatives, not just, you know, from the creative.
I didn't like when professions. You. Oh yeah, that's true. When you describe the concept
actor
to
is
me,
a creative.
Yeah. When you describe the concept to me, yes, it felt familiar. Like, oh yeah, I've felt like that before, but no, I hadn't actually known about, there was an actual study on it or concept for it.
Yeah, it's like I think we can contribute this really to Attila's motivation in spreading the idea of the concept and to his design philosophy. I think that's probably he's a European researcher, that's for sure, but I don't know. And also like about creative profession, I think it's not only relevant for creative professions. It's kind of relevant for almost every profession, because I think one of the secrets is to turn like a very mundane experience into like a flow experience. And I think in the field of gamification, this is also quite relevant. And I think gamification is something that is probably bigger in the States than it's here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't really know the European culture, so I'm not too sure.
I just know I hear the word gamification come up a lot more in North America than I hear say something like flow.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, for me it's also kind of, I don't know, I can't really say that I know very well what I'm talking about, because I don't know the North American scene very well. So I guess it's just us here.
You're going to have to come to North America and check out the games, the escape rooms, what it's like over here.
Oh, yeah.
So it's always interesting to talk to someone who has both, who have experienced both, and just see how different and how common things are between all the different escape rooms. So your company, Locked. Oh, I forgot already. Locked Games.
Oh, Logic Locks.
Logic Locks. There you go. Sorry about that. How many rooms do you have?
Well, today we have only one escape room in Amsterdam, like one stable installation, two mobile games, and a theater game.
So, what's your theater game? That's interesting. What is that?
Well, it's a game where every player becomes a card of a character card. It's like a mobster mystery game. Every character is like a mobster from the Roaring Twenties. And there's the big boss, the big mobster boss of Amsterdam, and he's stepping down, and he wants all the other families related, that there's no war breaking out between them, so he invites them all to one big dinner, and during this dinner, it will be decided which family becomes leading family of the city of Amsterdam. And so throughout the night, people use all the information that they have, that only they have, to plot against each other, make secret deals, backstab each other. There's going to be like a horse race, and it's a whole night of like gambling and intrigue.
Oh, wow. How many people play?
It's a max of 34 people.
Okay.
And every player gets like a, every player gets a individual person, like a, every player has a unique character and a unique role in the game.
Oh, wow.
That's why so far we keep it on a small level with not too many players.
And it goes all night? How many hours?
It's like 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
I think I need to play that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm not sure if there's going to be one round up the game. I'm also not sure if you guys are actually time or if you want to come to the conference. I don't know.
Oh, sure. Well, that'd be glorious, except it's in the Netherlands.
What about the Netherlands?
Yeah, it's not. It's.
I will be keeping my eyes out for cheaper flights.
Yeah, I think because just the week before, 2 weeks before, we're also going to the North American Trans Worlds Escape to the North. I know that Room Escape Artist is going to both, but
yeah. He's going to both. We could go to both.
Yeah, well, I some of us have a responsibility. I think my family would be going, "You're doing what now?"
Yeah, you're a sucker.
I know. The fact that I spent this whole past weekend doing nothing but escape rooms doesn't endear myself to the family as much. Yes.
Yeah, it's not the first time that I hear this. Also, like, they were like the Red Bull Escape Room Championship.
Oh, yeah.
Some people were like, oh my God. Some people are like, oh, my wife's already angry at me, you know, because I went to Budapest for this and this and this. And can I now also go to Amsterdam? I don't know, you know. It's like, that's pretty, I understand this this problem now. it's a bit unfortunate timing that the conference in the States and here are so close together.
Yeah,
I think we didn't really communicate with them at all when we planned this. So I think for next year we have to maybe check that that we avoid this kind of collision.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's not like everybody. Well, I don't know. Maybe there will be a lot of people that will go to both, but I can't imagine it being something that a lot of people will go to both conferences, one in North America and one in Netherlands.
Just crazy. That's people crazy. Like me.
Yes. Are you planning on going?
Oh, I want to. Like, money's stopping me, but yes. Yeah.
No, I can see that you have to decide. I'm personally very interested in how far, like, the haunted house industry influences the escape room industry in the United States.
Yes.
Yes. I think we've had Transworld on interviewing them just to learn more about the haunt industry. Because in Canada, the haunt industry is very small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I didn't even know that it exists, for that matter. So for us, I don't know. I don't think it's affected our escape rooms as much as it has affected the United States escape rooms.
Okay, yeah, because here it's not a thing at all. Haunted houses don't really exist. Like, and then there was like, there's like, sometimes there might be someone who makes a temporary installation as like some sort of crazy idea, and then people are like, oh wow, that sounds interesting, but it's like really not a, there's, you cannot, you really can't call it an industry or even a scene. So it's and also we saw that also last year we were inviting people to at the conference as exhibitors to show what services they offer. And there was actually surprisingly little. We only had like 3-4 people who came to the conference and provided services. And then I saw like how it looked at Transworld in the US. And that's like it seems like there's like quite a big market for like people who cater escape rooms and design products for them. And I suppose that this is because of the headset of the haunt industry.
Now, you were talking earlier about your mobile escape rooms, and I don't think, and I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem that mobile is as big here, because it sounds like there are a number of mobile escape rooms in Europe.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know why that would be the case. Maybe it's, for us, the escape room is mainly a thing for festivals, and the Netherlands is crazy about festivals. Like, there are so many festivals here, like, this summer is like, if you want to, you can easily go to a festival every weekend. You probably then even have to decide which festival you want to go every weekend, because there will be more than one.
It's just a party country.
And so, so that's like, and for festivals, it's a nice thing to do. And that was our initial, what we initially designed it for. And then after that, we We also went with it to a private parties. We were invited to like two weddings so far.
Oh, that was really great.
And so like, yeah, now we
forget the photo booth. Get yourself an escape room.
Yeah, like that's motivation for me to get married. I just want an escape room at my wedding.
Hilarious. Or you can combine photo booth and escape room at the end. Oh, wow. Darn it. That's brilliant.
Yeah, actually, there's a thing that friends of us are doing. They're doing like a photo theater. So you get like a lot of props and like interesting decoration, and then you make a picture and you react to a certain scene or you react to a certain situation with all these props. And yeah, they call it photo theater. And yeah, they travel along with the Freak Show quite often there.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Freak Show is a mobile escape room, yeah.
So how large are you in a big trailer, or how does your mobile escape room work?
It's not very big. It's like the trailer that you can usually see like on trailers, like you see them on construction sites most of the time. And it's like it's completely redecorated and repainted that it looks more like a circus, a caravan that travels along with the circus. But it's relatively small, and it's also like it's only like a 15 to 20 minutes experience for like around 4 or 5 people. The experience starts a bit earlier because there's a bit of acting and a theater before it, because like the Freak Show travels with like 3 to 4 like freaks that are usually around the caravan and entertaining the people, and like trying to get your attention and trying to ask you for help, which will then eventually end in you being locked up in a creepy caravan.
Oh, that's kind of cool. That sounds very immersive as well, if you have a whole whack of different acts and sideshow acts around it.
And there are other escape rooms here. I've seen them in trucks, in really big containers. How common is it? I don't know. I think it's still not too common. Maybe like 1 per 50 or so. Like for each 50 normal escape rooms, there's maybe one mobile.
You were mentioning that a number of mobile escape rooms were going to be at the Up the Game conference as well, and they go for an hour. So.
Yeah, I can't promise that we have a number of like of these kind of escape rooms at the conference, because I'm not sure if it's really fitting. We will probably look more for shorter kind of experiences, because I don't think like an hour long mobile escape room, as much fun as it is necessarily the right thing for at the conference, because I don't think people will want to do that, because they will feel like they miss out too much on the actual conference.
I mean, is there anything happening in the evening? Can they do it in the evening?
Oh, in the evening there will be a party. What's going to happen during the party is something that I don't really want to give away.
Secrets. Okay, that's something for people
to
look forward to.
So if you need something else to entice you to go to the conference.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So it won't be just a normal party.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Alexander, for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot for asking all these lovely questions. It's nice to talking to you. Thanks a lot for the podcast. I only discovered it quite recently, and like still catching up on all the episodes that are out there.
We're surprised that there are so many ourselves as well. We started this
last year
as just a fun thing, because we couldn't help ourselves. All we do is talk about escape rooms with our friends. We talk a lot about it internationally with a lot of people, because we have this chat room, and we just can't help ourselves. And so we started the podcast. Hey, let's have some fun. And then we just keep running into more people that are excited about escape rooms, and we keep asking them for interviews, and we just can't help ourselves. And so you were asking me earlier, just before the podcast, about whether it's still exciting after all these, after all the ones that we've done, and for us it is.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't know how many you've done. You're privy to a number of them, it sounds like.
Well, I'm not as much of a hardcore escape room player as some other people out there. I still kind of restricted to like maybe 2 or 3 a month. Was very different in Moscow though. Last week when we were there, that we played like up to 6 a day.
Holy! how was your brain not like screaming at you?
That was like, yeah. I had moments where I was like, wow, And now I realize how it feels to how it is to feel really, really stupid, because like I got so, my brain was melting so much, and like we, in the end we played one escape room that was actually designed to a large extent for kids and families. I was struggling so much with it, and I was like, oh my god, I kind of feel like giving up on this, you know. It's like, no, like for me it's like I have to watch out that I don't overdo it, because then I like to keep it as something very special. But also, yeah, this is why I enjoy it very much to a large extent, because of the people I do it with. It was nice when you said that in the beginning, and that's also definitely the reason for me. It's always a nice nice occasion to come together with some friends that I haven't seen in a while, and mm-hmm. then play an escape room with them, and then afterwards have some drinks. That's always a really good evening. Huh?
Yeah. No, it is for us, just hanging out with the people that we're with, even though I troll them all the time. It is good.
It is enjoyable. The trolling's mostly enjoyable, but he's still my friend for some reason.
Oh, I was going to ask you one last question. With your background in psychology, do you ever get a chance to implement them somehow in your escape rooms? Or do you hope to, just to mess up with your players?
I don't know. It's hard to say, because like I've studied psychology for so long time that all the knowledge that I gained from these studies are kind of, like, for me, it's now just my general knowledge. And it's just like, it has deeply influenced how I look at the world, and I look at how I look at people, and I look at how I look at experiences. So I think it definitely influences me in the design decisions that I make.
Oh, that'd be cool to see then. Wow, what would that be like?
But I don't explicitly incorporate psychological elements into the games. Like, I wouldn't, at least let me think. I don't think so. Not that I'm very aware of it. But if you study social psychology, you have some very interesting knowledge about how people react in social situations, and how they interact with people. And
I would assume an escape room is great to set up social experiments.
Yeah, there would be the problem is like the ethical commission here.
See, you are a decent person, and this is why it's good that Errol doesn't have a background in psychology, because he would just mess with everybody and he'd be known as a monster.
No.
Well, we are now designing our first like actual horror experience, which we haven't done so far, because for me horror is often a lot of horror movies and a lot of horror experiences don't really work for me yet. Mm-hmm. There's a certain kind of creepiness that, however, does work on me. So
yes,
we will see if we can, instead of shock people that experience with, like, jump scares, creep them out in a really, like, disturbing psychological way.
I completely agree with you. Yeah.
I've had some fun ideas I wanted to do to people. Like, I would say, you know what would be cool, Manda? Imagine if you were in a room and then somebody would appear to you, and you keep telling your players, look, there's somebody that was there. I just saw them. And then they would turn around and nobody's there. And throughout the whole room, you just pick on that one person and nobody believes them the whole time.
But we're in an escape room. They would believe me.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, maybe
that's
true. Maybe
they think that you're making it up, right? Or maybe you get a phone call and then only you get to talk to them and nobody trusts you throughout the whole room.
Yeah, that hasn't happened before at all.
Or another thing, I think it'd be really cool for everybody to, like, you know, suddenly split up into six at the beginning of the room and go through one hallway. And then each of them are told at the beginning, hey, one of you are going to betray the others, and then they all exit and everybody's like suspecting everyone, but nobody is actually going to betray them.
See, this is why you shouldn't design escape rooms.
I do like the idea of the betrayal a lot, and to cause this kind of suspicion and distrust in the group.
No, there was a creepier game we played, though, that was very effective for me. Like, I'm with you. I think jump scares are good in limited quantities, but I really like, you know, when there's just a creepy atmosphere building throughout a room, and because, you know, people will make up their own, you know, scares as much as the designer will. So, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, then when it's just dark.
Being afraid of the scare, like being afraid of what might happen.
Yes.
That is where the fear comes from.
The anticipation to the fear.
Yeah, if the jump scare happens all the time and you kind of know that it's going to come, then I don't think it doesn't really do it. It has to be a surprise.
Anyway,
thank you so much again. I tangented again.
This is like the fourth interview in which we've said goodbye and then had two follow-up questions.
And then Errol comes up with another question he wants to ask. It's true. Anyway, it sounds exciting. If anybody is listening, it's upthegame.nl and it's happening on May 3rd. May 11th, isn't it?
May 9th.
May 9th.
Oh, I'm May just, 9th, yeah.
I'll put it this. Good grief.
Dancing around May 9th
in the Netherlands and Breda, Netherlands, in case you want to book your flights.
And you also have a blog, correct?
Oh, yeah. But however, I'm embarrassed to say that the blog has been on a sleeper mode already for a while.
Oh.
I had like kind of neglected it a bit. But yeah, I do have a blog. It's called Play It Real. And especially because we've just been in Moscow for a week, now is the right time to reanimate it again and write some about the stuff that I experienced there. Yeah.
And where can people find you and your room?
Well, if you want to play Logic Logs, you have to come to Amsterdam.
Yes.
And if you want to play some of our other games, yeah, like our website is logiclogs.com. And you can see a bit like... you can get an impression of a portfolio. Not all of the events and not all of the games are on there because some things we announce only per newsletter. But our main games at the moment, they are on our website, yeah.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
And I hope you
keep up the good work.
Yay!
Thank you. And I hope the conference, it sounds like it's going to go amazing. So people should just go and check out the conference and all the different speakers there. And it sounds like a great time, especially if it's in a huge round prison of death.
Well, you could
I'm sure it's going to be good fun anyway. Yeah. I'm sure about that.
Okay, Man Pans, do you want to talk us out?
Sure.
Yes. Okay.
Room Escape Divas is brought to you by Inverse Genius. You can go to inversegenius.com and find other fun podcasts just like this one. You can also email us at roomescapedivas@gmail.com. Sorry, one second here. You can also find us on Facebook if you just go to the Facebook page and click the like button on Room Escape Divas. We're posting all sorts of fun photos now, so Ruby's in charge of that. Errol's practicing his yoga in front of me. And if you do use Twitter, we don't have a Twitter, but you can use the hashtag REDivas if you'd like to get a hold of us. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Alexander.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.